helping us to focus upon the truth that with God all things are possible. I bless the person whose hand I hold, and I pray, God, great peace in their heart, great peace in their life. Father, we'll give you thanks. We give you honor and glory. Right now, Lord God, we thank you for Joey and Felicia and their family. Father God, they are hurting this morning, but we bless them. Well, their mother is in glory. Her mother's in heaven, and we thank you for that, Father. We bless those, Father, that have come from far and have gathered around them today, and encourage them. Encourage others that are here this morning, Lord, whose hearts might be heavy. But God, we're safe in the arms of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I want you to hold on to that hand. Lift it up before the Lord. Come on, lift it up. Sometimes you need somebody to lift your hand up because you can't do it yourself. Thank God. Thank God. Now break hands and lift them up to Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. You are awesome. Before you're seated, tell two or three people, I love you in the name of the Lord. I love you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Vigoroa. What a great, great ministry gift. Pastoring in Oberlin, Ohio. Doing a tremendous work there. And we're grateful that he took time to be with us this morning and be a blessing. And we want to be a blessing to him. And we'll give you an opportunity to do that later at the end of this service. I'm just excited about this morning. I'm just so pumped up. I've been pumped up all week. And yesterday, excited about this opportunity to be together in the presence of the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for the people that came yesterday morning for our hour of prayer. 10 o'clock, we just touched heaven. Heaven touched us. And then later on that day, I just felt prompted to come through the auditorium again and walk through every row. I want you to know I prayed for every seat. Laid my hands on every seat and every row. And I'm praying out and playing music. And I said, oh God, let there be a move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And let our lives never be the same. Not church as usual, but an uncommon encounter with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's really what we need, is an uncommon encounter. So no, you know, body life, it's part of the corporate anointing like this, but it doesn't end here. It means coming together around a meal like next Sunday on Ohana Sunday. Or maybe hitting a golf ball if you can hit it out there on the 16th with all the guys and gals getting out there and just playing a scramble. I may even get out there myself. I don't know. We'll see. I retired from golf a couple years ago. You know, after you win a championship, there's nothing else left to do. But it's just good to be together. Pastor Tossie, I'm so thankful for your ministry gift on Thursday night. I heard it was awesome, and he helped us understand a little bit about preparing for your future and giving us insight on a will clinic. You say, well, that doesn't sound very practical. Oh, wait a minute. Listen, it is spiritual. Stewardship of your life is important. Don't let the government and don't let the system take away all your stuff. Give it to your children and your church. Amen. After you're gone, what are you going to do with it anyway? Might as well give it to the kingdom of God. But thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that so much. Hey, do you have a Bible this morning? Open it up and let's do it. Let's read the Word of God. And it's 11:02 in case you're taking medicine and you need to know what time. I promise not to keep you long, but I'm going to bless you with the Word of the Lord this morning. We're talking about the works of the flesh. Can I get a praise the Lord in here? Oh, man, this is a tough series. It's a tough series, you know. Nobody likes to talk about the works of the flesh. We all want to talk about the works of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, power of the Holy Ghost. Who wants to talk about the works of the flesh? You got that right. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. Paul writes, and this is what he says, "For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envying, jealousy, wrangling factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men?" Now, if Paul wrote that to me, I'd be offended. I'd leave the church. What are you talking about? How dare you say that to me? That's what the church said in Corinth. They got upset about Paul. They couldn't believe that he would be so bold as to declare such a thing to them. Ladies and gentlemen, the works of the flesh are very powerful, very strong. And there's something we have to understand about them. If you'll turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5, you'll see in verse 19 a list of those that we have already begun to discuss. But today we're going to deal with two specific works of the flesh. I believe there's 17 of them. So we're going to deal with two of them at a time. So we'll be in this a little while. But I want you to know that the two that we're going to deal with today have been loosed on the earth. And these two works of the flesh have brought chaos, calamity, death, strife, and enmity is what I'm talking about. These two works of the flesh are beginning to make inroads into every political system, every religious system. As a matter of fact, we see today the hatred among Islam and Christianity and the various branches thereof. We're seeing nation against nation. We're now considering what many have called or termed to be the social disorder works of the flesh. Enmity and strife is what causes social disorder or social chaos. It is that eagerness to find in another person some grounds for resentment, bitterness, hatred, and sorrow. It's that drive to pinpoint and to locate what you have done to me so I can justify my anger towards you. These are violations of what God came to give. God so loved the world. These are violations of brotherly love. Jesus Christ declared that we ought to have love one for another. That if we can't love one another, then the love of God is not in us. These are violations that represent selfishness, unyielding attitudes, bitter spirits, which often enter into reactionary agitations. This is where families end up in divorce. This is where children end up rebelling against parents. This is where people can slither a knife into someone's side or shoot an innocent man in cold blood. These are what we call the works of the flesh. And I want you to know something about this, that when we engage in these two, especially enmity and strife, it attracts demonic powers. These two works of the flesh will encourage demon spirits to manifest. With me right now, pay attention to the screens. Let's take a little look at enmity and strife as we see it in America. Say, what is our world coming to? Why are we so out of control? Why doesn't somebody do something about this chaos that we experience? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to submit to us today that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago came to do something about that which you've just witnessed on this screen. Perhaps even in your life you have witnessed these kinds of manifestations, these agitations of the flesh. You see, the flesh nature, the carnal nature, the unredeemed part of a human being is capable of taking someone else's life from them. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ has come to redeem us from this nature and give us a brand new nature where there once was hate, there now is love. Where there once was jealousy and envy, there's now acceptance and forgiveness. Aren't you glad today that you've been touched by the Spirit of the living God? Aren't you glad today that Jesus Christ has redeemed you and saved you and changed you? Hallelujah. You see, the Bible says that enmity is basically this. In the Greek, we understand it's the Greek word thumos. It means this: fierceness, indignation, wrath, hostility, or hatred. It is that which is in us the ability at any given time to erupt. Outside of the new nature, outside of the Spirit of God dwelling within us, outside of the fruit of the Spirit being developed in our life, we at any time can operate in that. Different levels of fierceness, different levels of indignation or wrath or hostility. Sometimes we hate a little more, sometimes we hate a little less. But nonetheless, there's not one person in here or under the sound of the hearing of my voice that does not have the potential to erupt into what we would call thumos, or that which we would say in the translation of English, enmity. Hatred can never be defeated, though, by hatred. We cannot defeat hatred by becoming angry, by retaliation, by vengeance. That's why the Word of God tells us that vengeance belongs to the Lord. That's why we understand that it is time that we are very careful as God's people that we do not respond to enmity with enmity. You see, oftentimes as Christians, we feel like when somebody has hurt us, someone has been fierce towards us, indignant, someone has been hostile toward us or have hated us, that gives us license then to respond to them in the same measure, in the same way. But I want to caution you today, be very careful that you do not respond evil for evil. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we are to overcome evil with good. Look at your neighbor and say, overcome evil with good. You see, this is an opportunity for Satan to dispatch his demon hordes when we operate in this particular area of the works of the flesh. Go with me to James chapter 3. Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. When we begin to operate in this carnal nature, it is not from God, but rather it comes from the earth. It comes from our sensual nature. And notice what James said. It has its origin in the demonic realm. Listen to verse 16. For where envy and strife and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything evil are there. In other words, when I begin to respond in enmity in any degree toward another human being, I now have given licensure to demonic spirits to begin to dwell in that situation. I now give them an invitation to come and invite evil to begin to take over and to take a foothold in my family, in my marriage, in my relationship with coworkers or neighbors or a people group or a particular denomination of religious affiliation. It doesn't matter who our enmity is directed. Then that evil has been given license to camp out and begin to create even more complexities and difficulties and eventually death in that situation. I often hear on news broadcasts today when they're discussing this growing trend of female fighting female. Maybe you've seen some of those displays on the news where girls are duking it out after school, pulling each other's hair out, beating each other up. And the guy would ask, I don't quite understand. What is causing all of this hostility between these girls? This is unusual. We remember where guys would do that, but girls are now doing that. What's this world coming to? See, they have no clue, but sadly, most Christians don't either. We don't realize that its source is in our own heart. Its source is in our own nature. The hope for America, the hope for a family, the hope for every person in this room today is to submit your life completely and totally, Pastor, as you sang that song, completely and totally to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And until a man does that, until a woman does that, there now are opportunities for evil to camp out in your home. There are now opportunities for demonic powers to be involved in that circumstance and in that situation. James chapter 1, again we read his admonitions, verse 19, saying this, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Can I say that one more time? Yeah. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So when you go off, when you lose control, when you start throwing things and cussing, when you think you have a right to let somebody know what you think, that wrath release does not bring the righteousness of God. But that wrath release begins to send an all call, an all points bulletin to every demon power spirit available within the region, that there is now an open invitation to visit 350 Main Street and come into your home and in your marriage and your relationship with your children, in your church. Today we must rise up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. 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 If the Cleveland Cavaliers can rise up and beat the bad boys of Detroit, then God's people can rise up and beat the bad boy demons that come to steal, kill, and destroy. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to rise up. You've got to have the will to win. You've got to have the will to overcome this nature called enmity. I have never in my life seen the display of a will of a man to win other than in game 5. With LeBron James, one man against 5, scoring the last 29 points that the Cavaliers scored. I know this is church, but let me talk a little bit about the will of a man. That he came back and became the greatest NBA player I've ever seen play basketball, period. Now I want to ask you a question. If a man with gym shoes on and a rubber leather ball can have the will to overcome the defensive posture of another team that says, bring that thing down here and I'm going to smash your face. I'm going to knock you down. If he can exhaust himself where he needs an IV to rehydrate his body after he's played a game that he's already been paid millions for. Help me, somebody in this house. Can't we as God's people say, I don't have to retaliate. I don't have to fight back. I don't have to return evil for evil. But I can bless those who persecute me. I can speak well of those who try to hurt me. Come on, somebody, rise up. It's time to rise up the pettiness in the church. Well, I can't believe she said that. Why don't you bless her? Well, I can't believe they did that. Why don't you bless him? Well, I don't understand why pastor had... Why don't you just thank God you have a pastor? It's time to what? Rise up. It's time to rise up. We're a bunch of Corinthian people walking around in the kingdom of God today, playing church and losing every Sunday. I'm telling you, can I find a witness of somebody that's got the will to win? Look at somebody and say, I've got that will. Give somebody a high five and say, it's time to rise up. It's time to rise up. every chance is to become a rising up Christian when I am hurt and offended. Every resentful circumstance is an opportunity for me to grow in my nature for Christ. It is an opportunity. Well, I can't believe they said that about me. It's an opportunity for you to rise up and be like Jesus. This is a chance God's given you to show what you're made of. What are you made of? What are you made of? You got to focus on what you're made of. I want you to know the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. I'm made of something bad. I'm made of something awesome. I'm made of something that can do things. They said of LeBron when he went to the sideline in a timeout, coach said, I'm going to draw up a play for Zydrunas. And LeBron looked over him and said, no, you're not. Just give me the ball. And the coach said, I looked in his eyes and saw the man was so focused, I just scratched everything off and said, give him the ball. And if you didn't watch that game, it's a 5-on-5. But you'd have never known it. Four of them were standing on the sidelines of LeBron's team. And LeBron was up against five people. He had the will to win. Church folk, do you have the will to win? Church folk, do you have the will to win? Most of the counseling in churches today have to do with people's bad attitudes. Their hostilities against each other. The unforgiveness against one another. The indignation that we release towards one another because of what people have done or haven't done or have met our expectations or whatever. And we want to return evil for evil. Have you read your Bible? Your Bible says to overcome evil with good. To do good to who? Those who do good to you? Oh, no, no, no. To do good to those who persecute you, who despitefully use you. This is an upward, upside down kingdom. It's time for the church to be the church. I believe we have an answer for every image on that screen that you saw earlier. I believe we have a power that can overcome that kind of lifestyle. And that's the Holy Ghost power living inside of us on the normal day-to-day where the rubber meets the road kind of living. You see, we've got to avoid becoming resentful or angry and falling into bitterness. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's an unusual verse to have in the Bible. I don't think that most Christians have read it. I don't think most pastors have read it. Pastors becoming hurt and burnt out, discouraged, discontinuing in ministry because of people's treatment of their life and their families. It's cruel, it's base, it's mean, it's demonic. 1,500 pastors a week are resigning. Is it 1,500 a week are resigning from churches in America? 1,500 a week. While I understand the Roman Catholic Diocese in Cleveland may not be the kind of church that we identify with, but they're closing 183 churches in Northeastern Ohio. Six in this city are closing. Why? Because nobody's interested. That concerns me as a pastor. That we can't get enough priests to come into the ministry. That we're losing pastors. That nobody wants to be in leadership because they're tired of being targets. Nobody wants to take responsibility in a local church because they're tired of being criticized. But I say to you, that's all right. Rise up. I say to you, get tough. I say to you, stop the whining, stop the crying, stand firm upon the word of God. Stand still and watch the power of God work in your life. Overcome good evil with good. Begin to bless those who persecute you and despitefully use you. Have the will to win and let Jesus Christ be seen through your life. The second work of the flesh, quickly, let me move on, is strife. Aritheia in the Greek means this: contention, intrigue. The tendency to secretly spread discord or enmity. Man, if we haven't seen that in the local church. Sort of like this song.
Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear.
To do is put a nice melody line with it and let them know that I'm only telling you this so we can pray. Nobody else really knows about this, but I feel like God told me to tell you. Strife, contention, intrigue, the tendency to secretly spread discord or enmity within an organization, family, local church, nation, doesn't matter. Those who trouble others inevitably, though, will lead very troubled lives themselves. I have been in the ministry for over 30 years. I have had a new appreciation for the scripture that says, touch not mine anointed. It's not just talking about the preacher. How many know, according to 1 John, we all have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. And we don't touch it. We don't speak evil of it. And when you and I do, those of us who trouble others will eventually lead a very troubled life. I have witnessed family after family who have come forth with their opinions, have broadcast them, have spread it around the church, have evidently felt as though that they were empowered and felt as though they could leave and go somewhere else and still speak negatively about either this church or me or someone else and begin to live that kind of life and think that there are no consequences. But I can tell you through personal experience, I have watched those families deteriorate. I've watched those children deteriorate. I've watched their life be filled with nothing but trouble, because when you sow trouble, you will reap trouble. Let me say this. I wrote it down so we won't forget it. Oh, the Beatles. We already did that. But things that are done in secret are rarely going to be righteous. That which has to be kept in secret is usually from the domain of Satan. Because Satan loves darkness. If you can't tell me, don't tell him, if it's about me. Because when you tell him something that's about me, you've kept it in darkness. And my Bible says in Colossians that we have been transferred from the kingdom of into the kingdom of light. And when you and I begin to tell secrets, when you and I begin to have intrigue, when you and I begin to keep things away from other people, we now are transferring ourselves back to darkness. He who is in the light, who walks in the light, shall be in the light. You see, we don't understand the power of this because it brings division. It brings defilement. In other words, you infect someone with an evil report. Now see, I may have said, I like Joey. He's a great guy. He and I have a good friendship, good relationship. Until you and I went out to lunch. You began to tell me what Joey really thinks of the church and me. And what he's been saying. And it may not even be true. But all of a sudden now that cancerous tumor has been transferred into my life. Next time I see Joey, I look at him with a little slight of my head. And I wonder why you feel like that. And how come you trying to manipulate your way if you can't just tell me the truth? If that's the way you feel, let's get it on. I mean, come on. But see, I don't tell him that. I just treat him that way. Now there's distance between us. We really don't talk that much. We're polite when we see each other. How you doing, brother? Good. How you doing? And I don't really get into it because I don't want to get into it. But there's something growing in me now that says I don't like him. And it didn't come because of what he did. It came because of what you said. You get what I'm saying? That's what strife is. That's what strife is. These are the seeds of social disorder. This is how the enemy uses these two carnal works, these carnal nature works, to divide families, to divide churches, to divide governments, to divide races. You see, the racial issue in America is really a carnal nature issue. The hostility and hatred we have one with another, the intrigue that's been developed, is as a result of strife and enmity. And we think it's because of the color or the pigment of your skin. Or we think it's because of your culture or your preferences. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with our carnal nature. It's learned. We have learned how to live in the flesh. And we do it so well. Put a little Jesus on it. Put a little first, third, and fifth stanza in it. Put a little preaching in it. Suddenly now we feel better about our attitudes because we love Jesus. But the facts are that even though while we may have pacified our own life, we are still infecting others with what I call the defilement of an evil report. This is what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. I know I'm not getting a lot of amens, and this series is not an uplifting series. I have to be the first to admit that to you. But that song was nice, wasn't it? I'm in love with you. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Uh-oh, I got something now. I'm finding out that when I speak evil of someone else, not only am I participating in darkness, not only am I now in the domain of demons, but now I am grieving the Holy Spirit. Why is that so consequential in my life? Because if you read the rest of that verse, it says, who has sealed you for the day of redemption. So when you and I grieve the Holy Spirit, I don't know, but maybe you're popping a seal. Maybe there's a leak in your gasket. Maybe the grieving of the Holy Spirit is causing consequences for our lives. Proverbs chapter 6 and 19 refers to the things that God hates. And he refers to this: those who sow discord among the brethren. You know, it's funny, Jesus' main prayer was unity. So to bring division is to work directly against the prayer of the Son of God. Well, Pastor, I'm not trying to bring division. I'm just telling the truth. I'm just letting everybody know, because everybody needs to know. I really don't need to know. Matter of fact, I don't want to know. I've got better things to talk about. I want better things to hear. I want grace in my life. Because I realize all have sinned. So don't tell me about somebody else's boo-boo. Don't really expound on somebody else's misappropriation or miscalculation. Don't talk to me about that. Let's just talk about how good God is that He forgives us of our sin. It's time to rise up. It's time to rise up. You see, unity multiplies the power. When we have unity, the Bible says in Psalm 133, there God commands the blessing. Here's Jesus. Oh God, make them one, even as you and I are one. I can't believe that person said that. I hate her. I'm leaving the church. Jesus, Father in heaven, please make them one. I don't care what they say. And Jesus is still praying for unity, and we're still speaking division. Why would we consciously, and this is the problem, we don't realize it. Who in this room would consciously, as a Christian, pray or live the antithesis of the heart of Jesus? Nobody. But it's because we have redefined what a Christian is today. We have lowered the standard to the point where it is accepted behavior among Christians. Now think about it. I'm a Christian. How could you be a Christian and respond the way you're responding and have such hate in your life? You want to hit me, don't you? Don't you? You want to hit me, don't you? Come on. Unity multiplies the power. The Bible tells us where two or three agree. Doesn't it make sense that if two or three agree, we know there's greater power? Then wouldn't it be Satan's objective to get us to dis? Right? To disagree. Because he knows that if there's unity, there's going to be power. So if we disagree, then there's not going to be any power. Now, this is what the Bible says. If one puts 1,000 to flight, then two puts 10,000 to flight. So wouldn't it be the objective of the demon world, of Satan's temptation base, to somehow get you apart from that second person who can help you put 10,000 to flight? He said, well, he's not going to do that. There's nothing the devil can do. That's true, because he's defeated. But there's something in you and me that he can use if we let him. It's called the carnal nature. That's why Galatians 2 and 20 is so powerful of a verse. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Are you all right this morning? Some of you look like you're bored or sleeping or something. Maybe you're up too late watching them calves rise up. I do not want to work for Satan's kingdom. I do not want to work for demon powers. Verse 10 of Romans 12 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. I understand that if He is the Word, Jesus, we must have our utmost care for every word that comes out of our mouths. Every word. For by our words we shall be justified, and by our words we shall be condemned. And I pray that this day, every one of us will make a covenant with God that there will be no evil speaking out of my mouth, out of your mouth. That only what we would say would be for the edification of the hearer, to give grace to the hearer. If our motive for saying negative things about another person is anything other than their restoration, then they're words of evil. And if what you say cannot be kept in the light, then it has its origin in darkness. And if it has its origin in darkness, you, my friend, are playing with fire. And can a man expect to play with fire and not be burned? This is why Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 to warn us of the works of the flesh. He also gave a very sobering thought in that particular portion of Scripture when he also admonished us and said, those who practice these things shall not enter heaven. Those that practice, meaning it is a focus of your life. You have resolved yourself to becoming good at it. We're all going to fall into it because we are our flesh. That's why it's important to be filled with the Spirit. And we won't carry out the desires of the flesh. So I've got to work on my Holy Ghost connection every day. Holy Ghost connection every day. I cannot afford to miss an opportunity to be in His presence every day. And His presence right now in this room is for our taking. And I want you to close your eyes with me for a moment. And I want you to begin to think and ponder about how much you love Him and how much you need Him and how much that without Him you become so desperate that you indeed need the presence of the Lord. Why don't you just slip a hand up to heaven right now? In Jesus' name. And let Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost, begin to minister to you all over this place. Words of repentance. Words of asking God to adjust your thinking. Spirit of the Lord, to come and to bless, and to bring this peace to you right now. In Jesus' name.
Jesus, lover of my soul, all-consuming fire is in your gaze. Jesus, I want you follow you all of my days. For no one else in history is like you, and history itself belongs to you. And Alpha and Omega, you have loved. Share eternity with you. It's all about you, Jesus, and all this is for you. All your glory and your fame, it's not about me, 'cause it used to do things my way. For you alone I guide and I surrender. For you alone.
Thank you, Jesus.
For you alone I guide and I surrender.
Sing that as a prayer. You alone.
You alone are God, and I surrender.
There's healing in that statement. Say it one more time.
You alone are God, and I surrender.
Come on, it's been a theme of the Holy Ghost. Say it one more time now.
You alone are God, and I surrender.
You alone are God, Jesus.
You alone are God.
Head bowed, let me ask this question. Altar ministers, you're coming as well. Would you please? Your head is bowed and your eyes are closed and you're thinking about your own personal walk with Jesus. You say, Pastor, you know what? I don't know that if I were to die today that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure. I think I need prayer today. I want to live for God. I want to know His power. I want His ability. I want to live free from the things that you were talking about today. I want to love and not hate. You're here this morning and you say, you know what, I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in a minute because I want to pray for you. All over this room, Christians are beginning to pray and we're just believing God that you're going to make that decision today to say, I need God in my life. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand if you want that prayer, okay? Are you ready? One, two, three. That's you. Hold it up nice and high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you over there. God bless you. Over there. Oh, God bless you. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, in a minute, I'm going to ask everybody to stand. But those of you that raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something that's really important. You got to take a stand for God. And I want you to get out from where you are, come down and meet with somebody here and pray with you. That's all we're going to do. It's a very simple thing. You don't have to be nervous about it. It's just we want to agree with you. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000. You need agreement prayer. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but when we stand, you need that prayer. I want you to come as well. Are you ready? Let's all stand, please. Would you come now if you raise your hand? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, if you raise your hand, sir, in the back there, would you come? Ma'am, come on, everybody, would you? Oh, yes, Lord, you alone are God. I bless you, Jesus. Yes, you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, that's good. It's all about you. Now, before we get a chance to leave here, I think it's important that we look at somebody with a lot of compassion and love and say, look, you need prayer. I'll be happy to go with you. Let's go down together. Why don't you look at somebody and ask them that this morning? Go ahead. Go ahead. Just ask them. And then I want you to bring them. Say, come on, let's go get that prayer now. We're not going to wait. We're going to go get it now. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's great, man. Come on. We're waiting on you. That's right. Nobody's in a hurry, right? We got a few minutes yet. That's great. Come on. That's great. Hallelujah. Nice to see you. God bless you. Come on. I want you to lift a hand and just reach it out to these that are in the front right now. Father, we bless these that have come, Lord. We know that their life has might have been one of enmity or strife. Maybe they've been treated that way. Maybe today they're looking, oh God, for the release of your love in their life. And I pray, Father, now that you would bless them. And as they give their life to Christ, that they would never be the same again. For we ask it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.